Yo, have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? When I was trying to get this podcast off the ground, I had a lot of questions. How do I record an episode? How do I get my show onto all the apps that people like to listen to? How do you make money? The answer was pretty simple for me. I started using Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. And best of all, it's 100% free and super easy to use. And now, Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise in your podcast. So that means you can get paid immediately, like right away. In fact, that's what I'm doing right now by reading you this ad. It's super simple. So if you always wanted to start a podcast, let's start now. Go to anchor.fm/start to join me and the diverse community of producers using Anchor. Again, that's anchor.fm/start. See you soon. What's up, everyone? And welcome back to the Stretch 4 podcast. I'm your host, Peter Tran, and on the line, I got my pick-and-pop partner, Josh Cohen. How you feeling?
Feeling fine.
My man. And the banger in the paint, Rajan Walia. How you doing this fine morning?
Where's the NBA, man? I'm dying out here.
I guess you're not doing very well, are you? Sounding like an addict over here, man.
It's been a tough few days here.
It's been like one night.
He's been watching Hardwood Classics to get his fix.
God, he's probably watching like N1 Mix Tour. That'd be sick. That'd be the best way to fill in the time. Or, you know, Netflix binging, but who am I to judge? So obviously we're in like that dull period after the All-Star break. In past years, we've had the trade deadline to at least like keep rumors going, but this year there's literally nothing. Yesterday's big news was Jody Meek signing a 10-day contract with the Raptors. So that goes to show what we're like hunting for in the news right now. What did you guys think of the All-Star festivities? Let's just start off there. Obviously, we're not going to talk about Friday night because who cares? But what did you guys think of like the skills challenge, the three-point contest, and the dunk contest?
So I think that the only thing that we're going to remember from this All-Star weekend is Hamidou Diallo's dunk over Shaq where he stuck his arm in the net. And the second thing is John Collins' hilarious dunk on the plane. Like, I was watching it at a friend's place, and we were just all dying laughing after that. That was one of the greatest dunks in All-Star festivity history.
Yo, I did not realize he actually landed the dunk. I thought he missed. After his foot clipped, like, the first part, and then clipped the wing on the landing, I was like, oh, there's no way he actually nailed this. But actually finished. I was impressed. But goddamn, that was bad.
Yeah, there's so many questions too with that plane, you know, like what are they going to do with it now? And who made the plane? Like, are they really angry that John Collins destroyed it? Was it supposed to be in some museum afterwards? Like, it was a pretty impressive plane.
And like, who are the five guys that he brought out in their little aviator suits? And like, why did they have to all come out with him? Like, I guess it was like for the show, but like, I thought he was gonna try to jump over them and the plane or something like that, but they just kind of like we're there to get free tickets, I guess.
Yo, those are definitely his boys. Like, if I were in this, I would definitely hook you guys up. So, Dunk Contest 2020, you guys are coming with me.
I was always also disappointed that John Collins took his goggles off.
Yeah, that was weird. Why put them on in the first place? Like, what's the point?
I mean, he looked pretty cool with the goggles on.
Is that what we're going to call it? Cool.
It was like a Halloween dunk contest.
One of my buddies said he looked like Snoopy.
It's true.
Yeah, man. My God, that was an awful contest to watch. It was actually brutal.
Yeah. Yeah, I think lately as well, just like over the last 5-6 years, even maybe longer than that, like the dunk contest hasn't really been the highlight of Saturday night in the All-Star game. It's really been the three-point contest, and this year was just another example. Like, I'm not blaming the dunkers, it's just we've kind of seen it all, and the last real good dunk contest that I remember was the 2016 All-Star game in Toronto with Aaron Gordon, Zach LaVine, and that was one in like 1 in 10 years that was like, oh my god, I would want to rewatch that whole dunk contest.
Yeah, the real question is, which was the best one before that?
It's hard to remember any.
Yeah. Because I can remember random dunks. Like, I remember DeMar DeRozan doing the East Bay Funk dunk. Obviously, JaVale with the two nets. Blake jumping over the hood of a car. Maybe that was, like, the best one. The JaVale and Blake one?
Yeah, that was probably the most memorable. Just from, like, people remembering what types of dunks they did.
Yeah. But before that, you had that, like, that nasty 3 or 4 year run with Nate Robinson winning all the time. It was obviously broken up by Dwight Howard in like 08, I think. 07, something like that. But yeah, it's been bleak as hell. Should we just make the 3-point contest like the final event of the night? Because I think people are much more hyped up over that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we say this now, but next year when Zach LaVine is back in and Aaron Gordon joins again and Zion's in the competition and Ja Morant is in, you know, it's going to be interesting again.
We'll see.
Wishful thinking. Yeah.
Aaron Gordon.
Yeah, if they get Zion, then everyone's going to be excited.
Until he brings out a drone. You never know, man.
The more comedy, the better.
What?
The more comedy, the better. Get those laughs.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's all about, like, creating a show, and I guess John Collins was, like, one player that tried to create a show, but that's what happens when your show gets, like, canceled or your show fails miserably. But I just think that, like, another thing that really bothers me is kind of the scoring system with the dunks, because the judges are really quick to give a 50, and then they see another dunk that's clearly just better than the previous 50, and, like, what are you going to do? Like, give it a 50 plus one? Like, it ends up being, like, very, very subjective, and it's still fun, but nothing like the 3-point contest, which was a very good 3-point contest this year.
Yeah, and as a side note, John Collins got robbed. He should have been in the last round instead of Dennis Smith Jr. Dennis Smith Jr. getting the 50 after he tried 6 times on the one dunk is a joke.
That was pity. That's because everyone just wanted to see J. Cole. Wait, was J. Cole in the first round or the second round? First round, right?
Yeah, I think they used one person as a prop in the second dunk in the first round.
Yeah, okay, then never mind.
Or a plane. John Collins' case.
Or a plane. No, he used... Trey Young gave him the pass on the first dunk too, right? The one where he grabbed the side of the backboard?
Yeah, that was Trey Young.
Yeah, that was actually sick. I did not realize how nice that was until I watched the replays. But grabbing it and then doing a reverse on the other side was nasty.
Yeah, and he got like a 40 for that dunk.
Yeah, I think I just don't think people saw what was actually happening.
You know what I mean? And, like they didn't and also, you're the first dunker too, so it's just hard to get hype.
Yeah, that's true. They shouldn't have had him go first. Big men should never go first.
Yeah, and the worst part of the competition was seeing John Collins on the bench afterwards after he saw that he wasn't going to make the second round with his head in his hands looking down at the ground. That was tough.
Yeah. Poor guy. The thing is, at the end of the day, some of these dunkers might have a nice dunk, but they're like maybe saving it for the later rounds, and it's kind of a damn shame that maybe if he did have something great that he didn't get a chance to showcase it.
Yeah, well, you obviously want like 4 dunks prepared, right? Or at least locked in the chamber. I heard on another podcast that Collins didn't get approval for the plane until like 20 minutes or like half an hour before dunk contest time. So it was literally to like the last minute before this guy was like, okay, you can do it. I want to know what else he had in store. Or if he was going to do it anyways.
That dunk contest award is cool and everything, but if I'm John Collins, taking home that broken plane is much better.
I want those goggles, man. I want to know who he gave the goggles and the scarf to. Also, my man needs to learn how to tie a scarf. What is
that? Yeah, he's just like throwing it over his shoulder.
At least make it look good. Dude, come on. You're on national TV. What'd you guys think of the 3-point contest? Josh, your boy Joe Harris came out with the award.
I told you he was going to win. Called that, didn't I?
Yeah, just like I called Jason Tatum winning the skills contest.
Yeah, now see, one was a bit more due to luck.
One was a half-court heaver, and it worked.
No, I mean, Joe Harris is second in the NBA in terms of efficiency on catch-and-shoot jumpers, so, you know, the stat just spoke to me. I knew.
Yeah, that's fair. Who did you have, Raj, in that one? Do you remember?
It's a long time ago, so I'm just going to say I had Joe Harris.
Fair. I would do the same thing. anybody want to talk about Sunday? The game was pretty mediocre at best, I'm assuming.
Yeah, there's really only 2 highlights. The Steph Curry pass to Giannis off the floor, like, that just didn't seem real. The ball seemed insane. Like it was way up in the air, and then all of a sudden it sort of, like, dropped a little bit, and then Giannis came out of nowhere and just threw it down.
Top of the square. That's all you need to know. He was at the very top of the square. How insane is that?
Then there was that Steph dribbling exhibition where he like threw up that, I think it was like a left-handed jump hook afterwards where he dribbled through everybody. It was like a globetrotter type move.
That was Steph circa 2000 and what, 15 against the LA Clippers.
Yeah,
it's like everything he saw Chris Paul out there and just was like, I'm gonna dummy this guy again.
Yeah, there wasn't really much else that was memorable. I mean, the comeback was cool and everything in the fourth quarter, I guess, but, you know, with 6 minutes left in the game, it wasn't really competitive, so.
No. You didn't like the Paul George reverse 360?
I don't even remember it.
It was literally the play right before Steph threw the bounce to Giannis. It was disgusting. Or, like, maybe two or three plays before, but I remember, like, seeing it and just be like, whoa.
It was a nice dunk. I remember it. And I think one thing that was kind of frustrating about this All-Star game, and maybe it's just me growing up and realizing that all All-Star games are the same, but I honestly would have seen, I would have liked to see less defense. Like, what? A little more like...
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
You're like the only person in the world that's saying this.
What are you talking about?
No, unless you're going to, like, play the game a little more tough, like, I think that just watching a bunch of players shoot threes is less entertaining than seeing them like do dunks or tricks or off the backboard. And I felt like there was a bit too much defense inside and everyone was just letting each other shoot.
No, I just think it's an all-star game, so players are not really inclined to drive into the paint and try to finish over people. So
yeah, and you just have a lot of shooters out there. You want Clay or Chris Middleton to do dunks or Damian Lillard? Come on, man.
No, but I want more, like, transitional opportunities, whereas in, like, I remember Team LeBron just kind of, like, they were almost hacking Embiid at every chance they were getting just to get him on the line, like, and I was just a bit disappointed because, like, we remember Steph Curry's pass or Paul George transition dunk. We're not going to really remember, like, Kawhi Leonard shooting a few threes, and I think we'll probably remember Damian Lillard getting hot, but besides that, like, I think... From my childhood, I remember there being more like plays like Steph Curry's pass in the All-Star games.
Back in my day.
Yeah. Get off his lawn, Josh. Get off his lawn of wanting less defense.
Oh, man.
I've never heard this take before.
Yeah, they got to change the reward for the All-Star game somehow. I'm not sure what they're going to be able to do, but they need more defense in the All-Star game. They got to make it competitive. I mean, I heard a good idea on another podcast where it's like first to 100 or 150 wins. I think that would be interesting.
Lawler's log in the All-Star contest.
I mean, the game would be shorter, and then hopefully players will try harder as, you know, the 80-point mark comes up, and they know they need to slow the other team down in order to get to 100.
Yeah, you know what they should have on Saturdays? A Legends game.
That would be nice.
Like, literally just big three, but full court.
Oh, God. No.
Okay, fine.
I was with you at the whole Legends thing.
Okay, 4-on-4, half court. 4-on-4, half court.
3-on-3.
With a 4-point line.
Literally, 3-on-3.
Just bring big three into it. That'd be sick. Mahmood. What? You don't like it? Work.
No, I like the idea. I mean, you know, both leagues can sort of intertwine for one night, and it would give the big three exposure, because I know they're bringing in some new guys next year, too. So.
Yo, they're expanding a lot. Yo, you guys want to come down to Toronto when big three is here in the summer? Like, serious question.
Oh, well, I'd be interested depending on who's playing.
They all play. That's the best part.
Oh, it's all the teams.
You get every team playing in, like, one day. So it's sort of like Summer League where you just, like, sit there.
That's pretty great. I'm down for that.
Perfect.
Only if I'm guaranteed to party with Meta World Peace and Steven Jackson.
Yeah, if I can find Stack after a game, I'd be so be down. What if it was a big baby and he took you to Popeyes?
Oof.
No?
I just imagine him as like a big fat bastard. What was his name from Austin Powers? Fat bastard. That's it.
Big fat bastard.
I just imagine him as like fat bastard at the dinner table with like grease all over his like, shirt and face. And, I don't know. I just wouldn't be able to eat after that.
Oh my God. That'd be amazing. Are you serious?
Oh God. I wouldn't be able to look at him.
I would love to see that. That'd be like, I would fucking record all of that.
They'd have to get two employees out to mop up the grease and the sweat all around him.
Yeah, but then think of all the Popeyes he'll buy you. If he doesn't eat it all.
If I'm actually up to it at that point, you know, feeling like I need to eat something, which I probably wouldn't be.
If you have any appetite.
Yeah.
We're deep into Josh's fantasy already.
let's go back to real NBA. So we're about two-thirds of the way through the season, and we've got a bit of a race on both sides of the conferences right now. Let's start with the East, because that's clearly the more, I don't know, captivating side. I want to talk about the end of the conference, though. 7, 8, 9, maybe even 10 seed. Between Charlotte, Detroit, Miami, and Orlando, you've got a game separating these teams. Who do you guys think are actually going to fall end up in 7 and 8?
Man, you just crossed me over. I thought we were going to talk about the top four teams in the East.
Nah, we already did that. We already know how we feel about the top four or five. I want to know about the bottom four.
Oh, we'll still talk about that after. Don't worry.
Nah, man. I don't want to hear about Jody Meek signing with the Raptors. I want to know your thoughts about Jose Calderon on the Pistons.
You know, I'm going to surprise you guys, but I think Orlando's actually going to make the playoffs this year.
What the hell?
And looking at the schedule going forward, they only have 8 games against teams that are plus 500, whereas a team like Miami has 14, and Charlotte has 14 as well. And although like Orlando only has 10 games left at home, they have 13 on the road. They've won 7 out of 8 games. They're playing really well going into the All-Star break, and you know they're hypothetically peaking at the right time.
Yeah, I could see Charlotte dropping out of the playoff race just because they rely so heavily on Kemba Walker. And as the season progresses and teams are more desperate for wins, I think that he'll become a little less effective, and they don't really have much kind of secondary offense besides him. So I could see Orlando sneaking in into the playoff picture. Between Detroit and Miami, I think like right now they're what? They have the same record. It's going to come down to one or two games. And I think it's going to really come down to who has the easier strength of schedule. And to be honest, right now, I don't really care who makes it, because it's going to be a foregone conclusion in early May.
On that note, Miami has 14 games left against teams over 500. Detroit has 12. And Miami has 14 home games. Detroit has 11. So it's essentially an even schedule if you look at it that way.
I think Detroit has easier opponents, though, because their strength of schedule percentage is a lot better than Miami's. Yeah. It's going to be Detroit, but Orlando really caught me off guard. I guess it makes sense because they have Vucevic. Your boy Vuce is finally going to be a playoff contender.
Contender.
Oh, man, what a joke the East is. Do we really want to linger on this anymore?
Well, I think we just want to give Orlando a little more respect than their record has, because they've actually played well this season. They've been kind of flying under the radar. Like, I would say that they've been playing probably the most surprising basketball in the East, except for Brooklyn. And I wouldn't be surprised if they end up being the 7th seed and even pushing Brooklyn for the 6th seed.
Wow. I was not expecting that. How is Brooklyn's strength of schedule going forward, Josh?
They have 13 games left against plus 500 teams, and they have a pretty even schedule in terms of home versus away. They're 11 at home and then 12 away.
Oh, damn. That's not great.
Yeah, I think they don't. I don't even think after the All-Star game, besides a game against Portland, besides Portland and San Antonio, I think they don't even play another All-Star team. Like, they play like Cleveland, Dallas. I guess Miami's on the fringe, and then they end up playing Detroit. So, like, they're not playing, like, the top ends of each half. So, I think that they're probably going to be a shoo-in for the six, but them and Orlando will be fighting, but I think they'll probably get the sixth seed.
Hot damn. Imagine, Terrence Ross might be playing in a playoff game.
Probably against the Raptors, too.
Raptors legend Terrence Ross. Former 50-point scorer Terrence Ross. Dunk contest champion.
20% field goal shooter in the playoffs, too.
Was he really that bad?
He was awful.
But he was a rookie, though, wasn't he? Or maybe like a second-year player at most?
I think he was second year. But he got that girl knocked up in Montreal, and this game just fell off a cliff.
Man, way to put this man's news out there. Come on, now.
Hey, man, it is what it is.
This is rude.
When you don't perform in the playoffs, Raptors fans find out why.
Okay. Let's move on then. Let's go to the West, because it's more of a...
Hold on. We're not going to talk about where you think the seeding is going to be in the East.
Do you really care?
It matters, man.
Fine. Orlando 7, Detroit 8.
No, but I mean in terms of top four or five teams.
It's going to stay the way it is.
You think Indiana's going to be the three
seed? No, I'm kidding.
I mean, it's possible.
No, I think Indy's going to end up in five. I think Boston and Philly go up to 3-4. Toronto, Milwaukee stays as is.
I don't know, man. Toronto, I think, could get the first seed. They have seven games left. That's the lowest out of anybody in the NBA against teams over 500. Milwaukee has 12.
I should have known you just wanted to suck off Toronto some more.
I actually prefer them to stay in the two, though. If Indiana stays in the three, it's probably better that way.
Yeah, Toronto wants to avoid Indy as much as possible.
Wait, avoid Indy? Yeah.
There's a long pause there.
Cricket.
Do not compute.
Yeah. No, yo, imagine Toronto getting bodied inside by Miles Turner and Domantas Sabonis.
Imagine getting bodied inside by Miles Turner. Basically have to be my size for that to happen.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Anyways, Ross, what do you think?
I'm going to have to kind of agree with what both you guys have said. I think Milwaukee will probably hold on to the one seed, but it'll be close. And I think Boston's almost a shoo-in for the three seed. I don't see Indiana being able to hold down that spot. Depends on how well Philly plays, but I think the race for the fourth seed is going to be tighter than the race for the three seed. So I think Philly will probably end up four and Indy five.
I disagree. I think based on the strength of the schedule anyway, Boston's going to end up four or five because they have 14 games left against teams over 500 and they only have 10 home games left and they have 14 away games. So I think that they're going to struggle a little bit over the course of the next 2 months and they'll probably get lucky in the first round in getting Indiana, obviously. But after that, they're going to be in either Toronto or Milwaukee's, seating arrangement. So I think whoever gets the two seed is going to be a shoe-in for the conference finals because I, again, don't believe in Philadelphia at all.
But Boston owns Milwaukee. Easy road to the conference finals, you know?
Yeah, they've split so far this year. I think they're 1-1 against each other, and they have a game tomorrow, actually, on TNT. So that'll be interesting.
Yo, who's Drew Bledsoe, man? Come on.
That'll be fun, though, to see if he actually shows up in that playoff series.
Bledsoe or Rozier?
Bledsoe. Well, Rozier's not going to play much as long as he's healthy.
He's going to show up on the bench.
That would be pretty funny if he did.
Show up on the bench. It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Bledsoe is at least in the contract here, so he's really fighting for it.
You know True, what I mean? But when you can game plan for teams in the playoffs, I think that he's going to be one guy that teams are just going to take away, and then you're going to have to rely solely on Giannis and Middleton to do everything. So.
Yeah, I think Milwaukee is a much better regular season team than playoff team.
Agreed.
Especially since they need more heartbreak, man. They need guys who have been there and then lost. They can't just like go all the way in. You know what I mean?
You're all about that NBA storyline, eh?
No, every good team needs to lose. Like a heartbreaking loss before they can advance further. Boston is in line for it and Toronto's in line for it now.
Toronto's been in line for a long time. Yeah, that line hasn't been moving.
They've just been waiting. They're that dude outside the club just with that 20 in their hand just waiting for the bouncer to pay them attention. And maybe this year, Adam Silver's finally paying them attention.
Yeah, because Marcus Saul standing in line.
Is he more intimidating than JV?
Maybe not. Unless he grows a beard, no.
Yeah. Or maybe he's bringing like some stuff that he's gardened for them. He's bringing them some like tomatoes and stuff.
Also, it's sort of scary how Joe Harris looked like miniature JV on Saturday.
What are you talking about? With his hair.
He looked exactly like him, man.
His hair.
It was just the hair and the beard.
Yo, Joe Harris just looks like a generic hipster. Are you serious?
It's a hipster beard.
Yeah, he's just like a tall white guy with a big bushy beard. Probably wears plaid everywhere.
Surprised he doesn't wear a bandana, too.
He might.
You should wear one of those new, like, bandana things that all the players are wearing nowadays.
Yeah.
What are those things called?
A bandana. Yeah.
No, they got, like, a specialized name. Like, some company's selling them now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't know about that. I just refer to them as bandanas or, like, headbands.
Hipster bandanas.
Yeah. Joe Harris drinks craft beer on the side. That's how you know he's a hipster. All right, let's go west. Finally, let's go west. So you have Portland, Houston, Utah, San Antonio, the Clippers, the Kings, and for argument's sake, the Lakers vying for basically 4th to 10th spot. Granted, there's 6 games in between Portland and LA right now, so it's a, sort of a lot. So let's just, I don't know, let's focus on like 6 to 10. Let's leave Portland and Houston where they are for now.
Yeah. I think you're going to have to give Utah the playoff spot as well. I really don't see a scenario where they don't make the playoffs, especially because they have a lot of games left at home. And I think that they've been strong at home this year, like with a 18-10 record. I think San Antonio and LA, the Clippers, the more important team in LA, are the teams right now. But I think they're the teams in jeopardy of falling out. San Antonio has kind of been streaky this season. They've started kind of slow, and then they actually got hot for a good like 10 or 15 games in the season, and now they've kind of hit a little bumpy road, and DeMar hasn't been playing that well. And I think Sacramento is probably the team that's most likely to capitalize on one of their mistakes. I just don't see how the Lakers are going to really change their fortunes. Like, I guess LeBron's going to try harder and try to take over, but I think that's only going to get you so far in the West.
Yeah, I think somebody told DeMar it's late April, the last few months, and that's why he hasn't been playing well.
Wow. Ba-dum-boom. So unnecessary. It's the worst shot you've ever taken, Adam.
No, I think that Utah is actually the team most likely to move up because they only have 9 games left against teams over 500. And as you said, they have 13 games at home, 12 on the road. So I think they're in the 6th seed right now. And Oklahoma has the toughest schedule going forward. They have 17 games against teams over 500 out of the 25 they're going to play going forward. So they're going to be on TV a lot the next couple weeks against really good teams.
They got 2 against the Raptors too.
Yeah, that'll be fun. Those two teams are going to be, you know, the super athletic, obviously, they're going to be a fun matchup for sure. And then the Lakers, they have the second toughest schedule in terms of teams over 500. So they have 15 games left against those types of teams. Denver also has the same, Minnesota too, if you want to count them. But the Lakers have 13 at home, 12 away. So that's a plus at least. But then you look at Sacramento, they have 13 games left against teams over 500. They only have 11 games at home. So I think the Lakers, ultimately, if they can win some of those home games against, you know, tougher opponents, like they have Houston at home, I think, tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken, 10:30.
Yeah.
So they got to win games like that against teams that are bunched up in the West, at least a few of those games, and not losing to teams like Indiana on the road by 40 points if they're going to make the playoffs.
Do you really think that the Lakers can beat those kind of teams, though? Like, they haven't really shown any signs of, not even, like, success, but even life over the past, like, month. You know what I mean? Like, that defense is awful. LeBron is basically carrying the team on offense, and they just sort of get walked all over now. And Houston is supposed to be getting Clint Capella back tomorrow as well. So I don't know, like, that game specifically, I don't think they have a chance. But do they have a chance against other teams that they're going to be playing against? Like, they still have both games against Milwaukee, they've got Denver, they've got Golden State. Like, they have the best team still left.
Nah, it just goes back to the LeBron factor from the last few years, especially in the playoffs. It's like, do you want to bet against LeBron in these scenarios? I know he's in the West now, and he hasn't really had a lot of success against the West, obviously. And, you know, now he's in a conference where he has to play more games against the West. So it's going to be tough for them, obviously. But ultimately, you know, I think they have one more game left against Sacramento, too. That's going to be a huge game. But I think it's probably going to come down to, like, the last 2 weeks. And, you know, if they do make it, I think that they're basically only playing for the 8th seed because in looking at the schedule again, I think San Antonio has the second least amount of games against teams over 500. They got 12 at home, 11 away, only 9 against the West, too. So if they can beat up on some of the crappier East teams, they're shoo-in for the 7th seed at least because I think Utah's going to move up. So I think they're only playing for the last 2 seeds.
Oh, yeah, I think what's going to happen with the Lakers is, like, the next, I guess, 3 or 4 weeks will really tell us. Because I think later in the season, they have tougher games against, like, their last 5 games are against, like, OKC, Golden State, probably the Clippers that are going to be folding. And then they play Utah and Portland. Like, that's not an easy last 5 games. So if they can really kind of pick up some steam and beat up on teams like New Orleans, Memphis, New Orleans again, they play Phoenix, throw in a Chicago in there, and those are... there's a 5 or 6 games in the next 10, which they should be able to get wins. like that's probably going to dictate whether they're actually going to push for the playoffs. But again, it's going to come down to one or two games. And again, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, but I think Sacramento's going to squeeze in and grab that eighth seed.
Who do you have at 7 and 6, Raj? Like, what's your playoff order inevitably going to look like?
I think Houston's going to end up passing Portland. I think Portland's going to be stuck in the fifth seed. I think Utah is going to stay at 6. And then I think the Spurs are 7. And then 8th is going to be Sacramento. And I think the top 3 in the West are pretty much solid right now.
Okay. Jay, what do you think?
I actually think that Houston has a chance to move up all the way to the 3 seed. Because with Oklahoma's really tough schedule, they lost on the road to New Orleans before the break too. So, and if they don't get some of their players healthy, I know Steven Adams had an ankle injury recently. Jeremy Grant sat out a couple games. They're getting Markieff Morrison now, so they have to integrate him in the lineup. And if they get Roberson back later in the year, which, you know, there's been no reports about that, but if that actually does happen, they got to integrate him into the lineup as well. So I could see Oklahoma sort of dropping down to the 4 seed, Houston up to the 3. And I think Utah is going to move up into the 5 or 4 seed possibly. And then you're going to see Portland move down because they have a pretty tough schedule too. They have 16 games on the road, only 9 at home. So their schedule is starting to even out in a bad way for them. And then for the bottom seeds, like I think one storyline we haven't really brought up yet is how the Clippers are going to go forward with this, because I think if they make the playoffs, they lose their pick. And if they don't make the playoffs, because it is lottery protected, and if they don't make the playoffs, then they obviously keep their pick.
Yep.
So it's going to be interesting to see like how often Doc Rivers plays Danilo Gallinari in games, if he, you know, sides
with, if he even plays anymore.
True. I mean, if he plays Zubac over Harrell to give him more development minutes, if he just plays Shai Gilgeous-Alexander 35 minutes a game, and some of the younger guys on the bench too that haven't really played this year, or if he's going to just try to go for it and get these guys playoff experience where they're going to just get rolled by Golden State, obviously. I think we're all hoping that they don't make the playoffs because we'd rather to see like LeBron versus Golden State or the Sacramento Kings against Golden State, which would be like a 140 to 130 type of game. So,
yeah, I have a question. Do we really think that the Thunder still need Andre Roberson? Because they still have like the best defense in the league.
They do, but he's probably one of the 3 best individual defenders on the perimeter in the NBA. So,
but he's also going to be an offensive liability at this point, much more than like Terrence Ferguson is.
Do you really? Yeah, but I think he's more reliable in the playoffs just as a player overall than Terrence Ferguson, because even though he shot well this year, are you going to trust a second year player over a guy that's been there before? Probably not.
Has he been there before, though? He's only played like one playoff run from what I can remember.
I think he's played in a couple, and he played really good defense against Harden in one of the matchups as well, even though they lost that series. But
okay. Interesting. Maybe. I really hope that the Lakers don't make it. I am completely out on LeBron right now.
Obviously, no, but a LeBron versus Golden State series in the first round?
What's the point? Who cares?
I just want to see LeBron get crushed.
Would you actually care to watch that series? Because I know I would.
Absolutely. I would watch every second of that series to see LeBron lose by 40 every game. It'd be great.
What a fucking waste of time. You're going to stay up till 10:30 to watch these games?
You mean 1:30? Yes.
I doubt it. I highly doubt it, man.
Yeah, I think most of the NBA would prefer to see like the Lakers make the playoffs and then lose to Golden State. Just because it would be funny to see LeBron trying to encourage his team when he knows they're pretty much screwed. And it would be entertaining, but I think the most annoying storyline that's going to be pretty much going forward for the next 2 months is, are the Lakers going to make the playoffs? They're 2 games out. They're 1 game out. They're tied for the 8th seed. Like, that storyline's going to be so annoying for the next 2 months, and it's probably going to overshadow some better storylines from both conferences. And it's just this obsession with obviously the star player of the league.
Yeah, I hope LeBron just sits out and starts filming Space Jam. They start filming in like mid-March, just so we know that you're not vying for a playoff position anymore. I'm over it. Is LeBron still the best player in the league? How about that? You think so?
Yes, he is.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think so. I think the gap between LeBron and the second best player which would probably be Kevin Durant, is smaller now. And I think the rest of the league is just getting better, or LeBron slowing down, whichever way you want to look at it. But he's still the best.
Wow. I'm surprised. Because I don't know. He hasn't done it for me in the past couple of years. Like, obviously, playoff LeBron is a different animal. But LeBron during the season, obviously not the same. Would you want Kevin Durant or LeBron in a playoff series?
LeBron. Like, to lead not even team? Close.
Really?
Yes.
I don't know, man. I might actually take
KD. I just think... No, I would have to side with Josh. And again, I'm like a big LeBron hater. I think LeBron now knows that his... yeah, deep down inside or superficially.
Yeah, pretty out there.
Kevin Durant joined a team just so he wouldn't have to get double teamed for 4 years. Like, fuck that guy.
Yeah, no, hold on. Just because he's a softie does not mean that he's not the best player.
Right? Well, you know KD's never led his team to a championship before. Like, his own team to a championship.
KD's never played in the East.
I don't think it would matter.
Are you serious?
I think it would matter a bit.
KD might make it to the finals, like, but I can't see him beating, like, you know, any of the teams out west. Now we're just getting to a crazy conversation, though.
Yeah, this is like is really out there, but I don't know, man. LeBron over the past year hasn't really shown me too much. He doesn't play defense anymore, and he's old. He's getting old. He's actually showing signs of injury.
No, but this year was the first time he actually got injured, like, legitimately.
And it's gonna keep getting worse as the year goes on.
Maybe. I just think that he's smart in terms of where he wants to expend his energy, and I can't blame him for taking...
God, I hate that narrative so much. How can we say that LeBron, just because he doesn't want to try on defense, is so genius, but we're going to chirp every other player that doesn't play defense? Melo never got this pass, and Melo clearly just chilled on defense until major matchups. But... during the season, when it was against, like, Milwaukee or some jobber team, Melo never tried. When it was against LeBron, when it was against Kobe, Melo always played defense. And we never got this narrative that Melo was a good defender or that he was saving his energy. This is a bullshit narrative, man. My God, I hate that so much. Grinds my gears.
Are we on to that segment I was about to say?
Apparently. But
I just think that LeBron, and I guess, like, you can use that same argument for other players. I just think that LeBron's constantly making the playoffs. And for him, especially when he was playing in the East, like, the seeding really didn't matter too much. Because, like, a healthy LeBron who's, like, full of energy matters more than the seeding. Whereas in other players, like, I guess you can use Carmelo as an example. Like, his team wasn't necessarily making the playoffs. So you have to kind of focus on the first priority, which is making the playoffs. Second is maybe... how are you going to play in the playoffs? So that would be like my counter argument. But again, any LeBron hate, I'll back up. So I agree with you partly.
So on that note, I think LeBron's made the playoffs for 13 straight years. Which current player has a longer streak than him at 17?
Oh, snap. 17?
17.
Who the hell's been around longer than LeBron? Dwayne Wade?
Dirt.
No.
Huh. Nene.
No.
Damn.
Yeah, who's been around Dirk. As long as LeBron? Dirk?
No, wait, no, he didn't make it last year. Oh my God.
Who's an oldie?
Wow, this is really going to piss me off. Hold on. Let me see this here. Are we looking east or west?
I can't give that away.
Oh, it's Tony Parker, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. You should have said East, man. Who would have, like, I would have gone through all the rosters. Would have really thrown me off. I'd be like, oh, did VC make it in, like, 2012? I don't know.
Well done.
You got good trivia. Yeah. Good trivia. All right, do we want to move on to grinding gears here? Because I got, apparently something else that I want to get off my chest as well.
I got nothing for the segment, so go ahead.
Raj, do you have anything? Or am I just going to be venting all day?
Don't worry, I'll think of something. I just have to think of LeBron and grinding
gears. Okay, well, what really grinds my gears is that people take the All-Star game way too seriously. a certain member of this podcast, I'm not going to name names, Raj, got really heated after the game because Team LeBron started doubling up on Steph and he got salty about it. Like, dude, it's an exhibition game. Chill out. You know what I mean?
Well, just have some fun. But that's exactly it. It's for the fans. Like, if I'm there to see, like, players just double up and like, one, it's when one team's trying harder than the other. And I think you could see that in the first half, Giannis's team was trying a bit harder than LeBron's. But in the second half, LeBron's team was trying, like, exponentially harder than Giannis's team.
Nah, the fans only get into the game when it's close and the players are actually trying together, you know?
It's true.
Yeah, so. But both teams, though.
No, yeah, but so I think your theory of, like, you know, letting players go to the basket and dunk all the time, like, fans are not going to be into that at the game or even watching.
It gets boring, man. And we're obviously talking from a perspective where we're, like, I want to say we're basketball snobs because we have a freaking podcast about it. But even, like, general fans, I don't think people wanted to see constant, like, lame dunks. Right? Like, how often would you want to see guys like Tim Duncan or Kevin Garnett just drive into the lane and putting down a tomahawk? Yeah, it's boring.
Yeah.
I want athleticism. I want something that, like, either I can do or I think I can do.
Shoot a three.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I just think that it would have been nice, like, again, based off of just your little rant there. Late in the game, there was a pass that was thrown. It was going to be thrown, I believe, to Paul George. It was an outlet pass, and Curry was just, like, hovering over, and he, like, intercepted the pass, and it was, like, 30 seconds left in the game. Like, Kyrie intercepted the pass.
Yeah.
Sorry, Kyrie intercepted the pass, but there's, like, 30 seconds left in the game, and clearly they were just going to put on a dunk for the fans, and I wanted to see that play, and I think that, like, what's the point of getting that steal? Like, are you trying to pad your stat sheet? or not let them have you dunk on you? Like, it was an open transition dunk, and it's kind of like at the end of the game when you know the team's going to win, like, you just kind of let them dribble it out. You should just let them take the dunk because it's an all-star game for the fans.
He's vying for All-Star Game MVP, that's why. Yeah. Although he was awful. I agree, but, you know, I just think you were too angry about it. You need to chill, is what I'm really getting at. People just in general just need to chill. It's an All-Star Game, it's an exhibition. The whole weekend is just, it's literally just for the entertainment value of it, right? So whether you optimize entertainment or not, it's obviously a different story, but just relax. There's no reason to get heated. I saw people were actually getting salty that Team LeBron started doubling on Steph. Like, chill out. He's done this multiple times before. It's not like this is the first year that it's happened. Relax. It's
probably his way of trying to get revenge on Steph.
It's the only time you're going to see LeBron playing defense before June.
Okay. I think that makes the game more interesting, too. Little tidbits like that.
Yeah, why not? Get Steph to break a double team or pass the ball. So they don't let you, like, roll up and shoot. Who cares?
Yeah, but then we'd get mad if, like, someone tried to block another player or, like, if someone hard fouled.
Nah, I loved it when Dwayne Wade broke Kobe's nose in the All-Star game. That was great, man.
You remember that, so.
Yeah.
But here, this is based on an All-Star game, Grind My Gears. In the skills competition, one thing that just bothers me is on the passing component of it. Even if you don't make your pass, you can still advance. So, like, the objective is just to throw the ball at the target three times as fast as you can. So you can advance to the layup and then the shot. Like these are NBA players. Like, let them try to pass it five times. And if they mess up five times, it's just embarrassing.
I agree. Remember when it used to be, like, a full obstacle thing? Like, you'd have to go through multiple cones. You had the bounce pass and the chest pass.
Like, that was better... Yeah, that was better. And I think that competition has better potential than it's kind of been in the last couple of years. Like, I think there's people would be entertained by that, especially with, like, lots of guards playing now and that are, like, obviously very skilled. And it's a guard-focused league, I would say. Like, I think they have opportunity to make it a better skill competition and probably move it on to later in the night if they actually revamped it.
Yeah, I think on that note, I think if they can't get past the passing portion or even the shooting portion, they shouldn't be able to move on. And then that Jeopardy button where, like, for that sound where somebody gets an answer wrong, that should come up. And then they should take the walk of shame back to the bench.
Or just have to do like suicides.
Yo, yeah, in front of 20,000 people. Suicide.
Now, can I teach you the game of basketball until your conditioning is at a level that allows me to do so? Gentlemen, report to the baseline. To the baseline!
Yeah, also, it'd be really fun to have, like, three fans or whatnot, like, who are, like, I guess, like, they could be not celebrities, but maybe, like, well-known fans participate in that. Because it'd be kind of funny to see... someone off the street who's just been practicing for this go up against an NBA player.
No. We're going to end up seeing 2 Chainz, Quavo, and Kevin Hart doing this. I don't want any part of this.
Oh, yeah, please. Yeah, okay.
Josh, I don't want to take that idea back. All-Star 2020.
Oh, man. I don't want any part of celebrities participating in these events anymore. I hated that thing with Quavo. Yeah, you should be in the All-Star game.
Absolutely.
But then someone would double you, and you wouldn't know what to do.
No, I meant the All-Star festivities in terms of the skills competition. I would destroy that.
Oh, you don't know how to pass.
Get out of here.
Selfish player.
Yeah, it's too selfish. All right, let's move on to Stats Corner.
All right, so for this week, you're going to guess the worst catch-and-shoot shooters in the NBA thus far this year by effective field goal percentage.
Are there minimum attempts?
Yes, yes.
Ooh, okay.
Some of these guys are actually pretty surprising.
DeMar.
I don't think DeMar qualifies because I don't think he shoots enough catch and shoot shots. He's not even on this list.
Okay. How many do you want? Like 5?
Yeah, bottom 5 in the NBA right now.
Catch and shoot, minimum, how many attempts? Like 100, 150, like what?
Looking at this, the bottom 5... The highest amount is 309. The lowest amount is 202. So it's guys that shoot a lot of catch and shoot shots.
Pretty good amount. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And also, wow. You just have to factor into that effective field goal percentage is basically the formula where it's like field goals plus half of the 3-point attempt divided by field goal attempt. So it really factors in 3-point shooting.
Mm-hmm. Oof, this is a tough one.
So really Tim bad 3-point shooters this year, essentially.
Tim Hardaway.
Surprisingly, yes. He's third worst at 46.6 effective field goal percentage.
Wow, that's awful. I have him on my fantasy team.
That's how you knew, huh?
Yeah.
Like, man, this guy can't make a three if his life depended on it, yeah.
So two of these guys are big guys, and they're both superstar players.
Oh, really? Wow. Miles Turner?
You think Miles Turner's a superstar?
And he doesn't shoot that many threes.
Fine, my bad.
Wait, hold on. You actually think Miles Turner's a superstar?
No. I was just looking at the standings and Indiana just pops out. It's that yellow logo, you know? big man, superstar. Superstar, big man.
What about Kyle Korver?
Worst in the league?
Yeah, like I don't think he's had a good year, but I haven't watched too much Utah basketball.
No, wow, he's not on this list.
Give me Cat.
Nope, Cat is not on the list. Two MVP candidates.
Oh, whoa.
A big man?
Mm-hmm.
Are you counting Giannis?
No.
Oh, thank God. Oh, Joel.
Yes, Joel is fourth worst at 46.8 effective field goal percentage.
Jesus. A big man all-star candidate? Or a MVP candidate?
Mm-hmm. You've been on his tip the entire year. Come on now.
Jokic?
Yes. He's the worst
efficiency
shots player fired. In the NBA in terms of catch and shoot shots. He's shooting 31% from three. And then overall, he's shooting 46.3 effective field goal percentage. So, not great, Bob.
Yeah, count those dubs, boy. What up? 39 and 18. That's all
I'm sure on floaters, he's at like 70%. In terms of mid-range jump shots and three-point jump shots, he hasn't been great this year.
It's the threes, man. He shoots a lot of them, and he shoots 30%. It's rough. But everything else he's great at, so I'm okay with it.
So we have the top four, I think?
So far, you've got in three. So there's two guys left. One guy got traded this year, and the other guy almost got traded for Anthony Davis.
Okay.
Lonzo?
No.
Kuz.
Josh Hart?
Nope. Kuzma, yes. Kuzma's fifth worst at 47.4%. He's only shooting 33% from three.
Clown Kuzma.
He shoots a lot of them.
Yeah, he does. That guy's a chucker, man.
Yeah, respect his game, though.
I respect the chucking aspect, yeah.
He was chucking in the Friday game, too.
Hey, oh, man, yeah. He got his MVP.
Like 28 shots. Crazy.
He was trying hard. Him and Trae Young.
He's just used to playing with LeBron. No defense, all offense these days, you know?
It's true.
So who else? What are we missing? Fourth?
The last guy got traded for Trevor Ariza. He plays for Phoenix now.
Oubre?
Yeah. Oubre is second worst at 46.4%, and he's shooting 30% from three. And 31% overall in terms of mid-range shooting.
Jesus Christ, that's bad.
The one who let him go.
Remember when he had so much potential.
And I guess on the opposite spectrum, can you list the most efficient catch-and-shoot players this year? Most of them are pretty obvious.
Klay?
Klay is not in the top five, no.
Steph, KD.
Steph is number five at 66% in terms of effective field goal percentage. KD is not in the top five.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Joe Harris?
Joe Harris is number two at 71.7.
Who else is leading in percentages? PG?
No, he is not in the top 10, actually.
Damn.
What about Damian Lillard?
Seven-ish. Lillard is not in the top 10 either, no.
Oh, wow.
Let's just name guys who were in the three-point contest.
Yeah, exactly.
Seth Curry.
Actually, in terms of the three-point contest, there's one guy left on this list.
Oh. Not Seth Curry?
Not Seth Curry.
Kemba Walker.
No.
But is it, but
again, we're talking about catch and shoot, right? So a lot of these guys shoot way too many off the dribble.
Chris Middleton.
He's not on the list, no.
Oh, wow. Who else is in the competition?
Danny Green.
Oh, yeah.
Danny Green is not in the top five. He's at number seven, though.
Buddy.
Correct. Buddy's number three at 69%. And then the last two, we have a guy that's having a breakout year that might take the starting two-guard spot on a playoff team. Your team.
Oh, Malik Beasley?
Yes, number four at 66.6.
It's all those Joker passes, man. I'm telling
Indeed.
You.
Indeed. And you have a guy that's consistently been the most effective catch-and-shoot three-point shooter in the NBA this year that did not make the three-point competition because they wanted the Curry versus Curry angle.
J.J. Redick?
No. He is at number 11, though.
Okay.
I like how you had to throw in that Curry versus Curry angle.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah, but they could have like switched out anyone else for him.
Yeah, but Seth Curry, even though he's shooting well, he hasn't really shot that many this year. He doesn't really qualify for any of these stats.
Could have switched out like Chris Middleton or Damian Lillard.
Not Dame. How dare you?
Could have switched out Chris Middleton.
That's true.
Let me just buy in time because I have no idea who it is.
So, who's the highest, in terms of teams, who shoots the highest percentage on three-pointers and has done so consistently the last few years despite not shooting many?
Spurs.
Correct.
Spurs.
So who's on that team?
Davis?
Correct.
Bertans.
Bertans is at 73 effective field goal percentage.
That's wild.
He's a crazy shooter. 49% on catch and shoot threes. 49%. That's crazy.
I did not expect that at all. All right. Good stats. I like that. Keeping in line with this three-point shooting angle, since we are called the Stretch 4 podcast, obviously, name me the top five Stretch 4 shooters in terms of three-pointers made. So not percentage.
Bertans.
No, raw numbers made.
Made.
Mm.
Who's a four that shoots the
Who shoots a lot?
I would say Mirotić, but he hasn't played enough.
Nope. He's seventh. Surprisingly.
With playing like 10 games. Yeah.
So these are just fours, right?
Just fours.
John Collins hasn't played enough.
No. We just named a guy who's chucking on Friday night.
Kyle Kuzma?
Yeah, number five at 104 in 53 games.
Lauri Markkanen?
Markkanen is sixth.
And he's played half the year.
Yeah.
Less than 20 games.
Josh, you got your boy in Boston that really grinds your gears.
Yeah, Morris.
Oh,
Morris Marcus. Senior.
Senior.
There you go. Number four at 110. Ooh, all-star host, but did not make the team, obviously, because he's not that good. He's been in the league for a while.
Vince Carter.
No. All-star host. Charlotte. Let me say he was drafted by the Hawks back in the day. Maybe
Marvin Williams is the host?
Well, he's a Charlotte player.
Yeah. You know, I thought he was actually host a host.
City. No, no, host city. My bad. Okay. He's got 112 threes made.
All right, hold on. How many do we have left? Two?
Top two.
All right, don't give us any hints.
Okay, fine. You're not going to get, though.
Jay Crowder.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow.
122 at number two.
Like, which seat is left?
Number one.
Yeah. Number one in the entire NBA. Is he in a good team or a bad team?
Depends how you want to put good and bad.
Playoff or no playoff?
Contention. Hmm. Is it LeBron James? No.
No. Because they're not in contention.
Playoff contention. You want the conference?
Not yet.
Yo, are you looking it up? I heard keyboards clicking, man.
No, I'm just trying to figure out the teams. maybe somebody in Brooklyn? No. Brooklyn doesn't really have a stretch for. Miami, Orlando. No. Orlando. Gordon, no. Does Arias count?
No, he's not on ESPN's list.
I guess Tobias Harris.
Nope.
Right?
Nope.
No.
I don't even know what he is on this list.
He's not on. There's a main threes? He's got to be on there.
He's not on ESPN's power forwards ranking.
Oh, he's listed. Maybe they have him as a forward?
Three.
That's
yeah.
Bullshit. That's some nonsense.
I love how much this is pissing you off. This is great.
I'm drawing a blank.
It's not Bielitsa, right?
B Jelly. No, he's not.
It's not PJ Tucker.
No. Also, Aaron Gordon is eight. So he's up there. Still missing number one.
Surprising.
Just in mates.
Want a hint?
Oh, Blake.
Yeah, Blake.
Oh, geez, yeah.
All-star or all-star playoff contention? 134. So he's got 12 more than Jay Crowder.
He's been good this year.
Yeah, some would say all the MVP candidate.
Yeah, just one person, actually.
Yeah, maybe Detroit in general would say that.
But yeah, Detroit doesn't have any fans, so nobody's going to say that in Detroit.
Maybe the people who make Little Caesars, they might say that.
They don't even know they have a team.
Maybe Coach Casey. I'm sure he would ride for him. He's finally playing big men for once.
How depressed is Coach Casey going to be when the Raptors win the championship this year?
He's going to be like, damn, I couldn't get them there.
You know, he's the Mark Jackson of our team, if you look at it that way. He's the one that was holding us back. And DeMar, obviously.
Oh, wow. So you're saying Nick Nurse is the Steve Kerr?
And
yes.
DeMar DeRozan is Harrison Barnes.
Absolutely.
And that would make Jeremy Lin is now Sean Livingston. Yeah.
That's a good comparison.
It's actually not bad, eh? That's the most accurate description that we've had.
And Marc Gasol is Bogut.
Ooh. Yeah. But better. Much better.
Defensively, yes.
Yeah.
And offensively.
Yeah.
And Patrick McCaw is Patrick McCaw.
Oh. Bang, and that's how we end it. Patrick McCaw is Patrick McCaw. All right, I want to thank everyone for listening. Please remember to rate and subscribe on iTunes. Hit us up. We're obviously on Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, all the major podcast platforms. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Stretch4Pod. And until next time, peace.
McCaw!